attracting, giving him the message and attracting him and gradually teaching him the faith. We must not be in the habit of wanting things to happen instantly. You see, we are so much living in a world of instant things, you know, instant coffee, instant potatoes, instant things. You press the button and you things, of course, in America here it's like this, is it? You press the button and things will happen for you. Now, you cannot have instant Baha'is. You have to teach them, you have to spend time with them. That's why Abdul Baha says at least one person in a year you can bring into the faith. I remember, I'll tell you one story here, and just to give you an idea of how one has to be, one teaches the faith with great wisdom. You have to use wisdom here. Now in Ireland, where we live, people are really devoted to Christianity. They are marvelous, marvelous people who have religion in their hearts, and they are attached to religions. They're mostly Catholics. Beautiful people. And they live such a life. You remember yesterday I was telling you the story of the chandeliers, the beautiful crystal lamp hanging. They are there. They are not lighted, but they are there. And once they become Baha'is, they become marvelous Baha'is. Now, they are very attached to their faith. And you have to know how to teach them. You have to know how to teach them. If you suddenly go to them, have you heard of the Baha'i faith? Do you want me to tell you about the Baha'i faith? He runs away like as fast as you can think. He wouldn't want to hear it because he thinks this is something wrong. And this is very natural. You have to gradually cultivate them. We had a neighbor few houses away, and my wife was very fond of her, and we were very fond of this woman, and we really began to pray for her. We thought this would be lovely if she becomes a Baha'i, but she was a very staunch Catholic. Her family were priests and so forth, very staunch. So the first thing to do if you want to teach him is never tell him anything about the faith. You know, you just pray for him and embrace him in your love, in your heart. And we did this. We had some children, and she had some children, and the children were playing together. And this woman would come to our house and see some Baha'i articles, and she knew we were Baha'is. She would never dare to ask a question. She was telling us. I was frightened to say a word. Never. And for maybe 6 months or a year, perhaps, not a mention was made of anything to do with the faith. We certainly weren't going to do it, but we knew that one day she's going to do something. And she was so agitated, she was telling us, she was agitating in her heart. Many a time she had come to ask us something, and she was frightened, and then she didn't. Now you won't know these things unless you are a staunch Roman Catholic. Beautiful people, beautiful. So one day, after a long time, she brought herself to the point of asking my wife, how do you teach your children? What is the principles that you teach your children with? She wanted to know, bringing up children. Well, that's a good subject. And we knew that if she ever, we had talked about it together, and my wife knew this, that if she ever asks a question, we are not going to answer her in the first time. So my wife said, oh yes, yes, well, sometime I'll tell you. It's very important. You see, this is the wisdom of handling these people. If we just suddenly go to him and, oh gosh, yes, I'll tell you all about it, he's gone. No, we'll tell you about it. Very casual. And after about a month or so, we knew she's going to bring it up again. And it came up eventually that, oh, well, what about that thing you were going to tell me? Oh, yes, yes, I forgot about it. All right. And so eventually, she talked to him a little bit, not about the faith so much, but about the principles of child education, as Baha'is we know it. And then she said that she was frightened after that. She told us. She wouldn't come and ask us anymore, and we knew this would happen. She wouldn't come near us again for a good while. But then she couldn't help it again. And eventually, I'll make it very short for you, she came and she asked this time about the faith. And there again, we knew we are not going to tell her right away. Oh no, well, my wife said, oh yes, well, I'll tell you sometime. Sometime I'll tell you about it. And then when the next time came, and after a while, all we gave her was a prayer book. Just give her a prayer book. That's the best thing you can give to a Roman Catholic as an introduction to the faith. And she said that when she got this prayer book and she read some of the prayers, she couldn't sleep that night. And then she hid the prayer book away from her sight. You see, this is a very good thing that's happening. The forces are entering within her and the reactions are building up. Obviously, it's being affected already. And we knew that this will happen. And gradually, she comes forward. And she came and she asked, and then my wife told her about the faith in greater detail, gradually and gently, and gave her to read some of the writings. And so she almost was a Baha'i. And then, I'll tell you something that you must know, that, you know, in teaching the faith, Shoghi Effendi mentions that. You read The Advent of Divine Justice. He tells us, he makes us to understand that it is not wise always. Now, this is not, mind you, a universal law, but it is very helpful in many cases, that when you're teaching the faith to somebody, you must teach him, yourself and your friends. That's all right. Bring your friends to help. But you don't have necessarily to show him to the Baha'i community, because the Baha'i community may have some Baha'is in them who, by virtue, say for instance in this country or in America, I don't know what it is, I hear there's a lot of race prejudices in America, isn't it right? I hear that. Well, supposing you have a man, you're teaching him and he's white and he's coming close to the faith, or somehow you're teaching him the faith, and say, now let's go and see the Baha'i community. And then he sees all of them sitting there, they are all colored. Well, he's going to run away, because he has prejudices. He's not a Baha'i yet. You see now? The prejudices that he has not yet gone. So we must not give them tests, unnecessary tests. And this is why Shoghi Effendi says that when you teach the faith, you have to teach it with wisdom. You have to be sure who is going to be the right person to meet with that person, because he's in his early stages. And so this lady had reached the point that she said, now I want to come to one of your meetings to hear about it. And she said, if I could be the one who would be speaking. So I said, all right, well, if she wants me to speak, let us arrange a meeting in some Irish friend's home and invite two or three Baha'is, and then I'll go and we can talk. So the night was set. And half an hour before we were due to leave to go to this house, because by then we have moved our residence from there, the host telephoned and said, you know, the house is full of people and a lot of Persians and others have come. They have heard that I was going. And the whole house is full. Now I knew this is bad for this lady. If she now comes up and sees this Baha'i community, the way we are, consisting of so many different backgrounds, she is going to probably go through a great unnecessary tests. So I, I'll tell you what I did. I had an excuse not to go that night. And we cancelled the meeting. We arranged it some other night. These things are hints that we should bear in mind. These are because people have prejudices. They are not ready. Of course, now she is a marvelous Baha'i, beautiful Baha'i. And all these stages are passed. You see, in England, for instance, there is a great deal of class distinction. In here, you don't have probably class distinction. You have color distinction. And the class prejudice is such a subtle thing. We have no English people amongst us, have we? I can say some things about them, can I? You know, the English people, all you have to do is to talk. Just talk. Or sometimes even my wife says there is no need to talk. You look at them and you know which class he belongs to. The way he looks, the way he sits, the way he looks at you. But as soon as he talks, definitely you know which class he belongs to. And then there is a barrier between the two. The barrier is so subtle that it doesn't show it. It's very polite and smiling at each other, but it's underneath, you can see through the smile, you can see a lot of barriers there right away. This is a great deal of prejudice there in that way. Now, I remember we had a marvelous Baha'i teacher, Kathleen Hornell. She's passed away, a beautiful person, Lady Hornell. She was titled woman. And Lady Hornell was a great, wise teacher of the faith. And she had some people she was teaching in her home. But she never mixed up her contacts. The people she was teaching, she did not mix them up. She mixed them up in accordance with her class, shall we say. She was teaching a lady of high class, of a high society, very, very distinguished lady. And then she was teaching some of the laborers, dockers. She never let them see each other until they became Baha'i. I remember one day I was there, and this lady was there, and Lady Hornell was there, and I was there, and some others were there, and we were talking about the faith. And this lady she was teaching, Elizabeth Greaves, if any of you have ever heard her name, she was a marvelous woman. She's passed away. She became a beautiful Baha'i. She belonged to a higher society. Now, that night was her night. Tomorrow night was the night of the others. And I was sitting in the room and I suddenly saw behind the window walking John, who was one of the dockers, you know. And he had decided tonight he had nothing to do, and he thought, although it wasn't his night, but he thought he'll come tonight and drop in and see what Lady Hornell is doing. Well, as soon as I said to Lady Hornell, John is coming here, she got up and went to the door and said to John, she said, John, I'm very busy tonight. Would you mind to come tomorrow night? You don't mind, do you? Now you see, how many of us would think that way? Wisdom. And it was wise. If Lisbeth had seen others, this is going to be a Baha'i? Is this a Baha'i? And am I going to be a Baha'i? She hasn't. She has got still all the prejudices in her mind. She's not a Baha'i yet. To get rid of the prejudices. And this is why I feel there are many things. You should read the Advent of Divine Justice, really. This is a letter that Shoghi Effendi particularly wrote to the American Baha'is. After he gave us the 7-year plan to the American believers, he wrote the Advent of Divine Justice. Now, if you read that book, it gives you all the prerequisites for teaching. Keep on learning and deepening in it. And now that I'm talking about deepening, let me talk a little bit about deepening, because it's a very important subject. I didn't mean to talk about this, but let us talk about a little bit about deepening. Deepening often is taken to mean that you must attend classes and learn and read. But often deepening, this is one form of deepening, which is not bad, and it may help to read, but I think the real deepening comes, the fruit of deepening, the sign of deepening, is when your love for Baha'u'llah increases. If you go to a study class and when you come out of it, if you find that your love is increasing, then you have deepened in the faith. But if you find only your knowledge has increased, then we must bring a balance in here. The balance is not right. Because the real deepening comes to us when we understand. In Arabic, there are two words which are very clear words, and they mean two different things. One is called ilm, which is knowledge, translated into knowledge. The other one is irfan. Irfan is very difficult to translate it into one word. It means understanding. Sometimes Shoghi Effendi has translated it as understanding. But it is really more than understanding. You can't just bring it in one word. It is knowledge. Irfan is knowledge plus, which results in understanding, recognition, penetration of your thoughts into mysteries. All these things together makes it irfan. Let us use the word in Arabic as it is, or understanding. Either we can call it understanding or Arabic. Now, the thing to do, the thing to learn, knowledge is something that you acquire. You learn knowledge by reading and by studying things. And then your mind will store it, like a computer. And anytime you want it, it comes out again, back to you. And some people are very good at it. They have good memories. They act like as good computers. They learn from this and learn from that and learn from the other, and they add them together. They act like an encyclopedia sometimes. Well, it is good. Knowledge is very important, and we must have this. But really, it is not essential, in a sense, when you're comparing it with Erfan. The goal of life is to acquire Erfan. Erfan, let us call it understanding. And in order to acquire Erfan, Baha'u'llah has told us what we should do. And I'm going to tell you exactly in a few minutes. But let me first say that there may be people who know a great deal about the faith. They have the knowledge of the faith. There may be great scholars of the faith. They may write books about the faith. They may know anything you ask them, he'll tell you where it is and where to find it. But this is not a great, it's not as great. It's not a great thing as great as having Irfan. They are acting like encyclopedias, like a computer, something which has accumulated all this knowledge. And as Baha'u'llah says, they usually steal it from one another, you know, and they pride themselves in it. We have had many such people in the faith, or we have them probably, I don't know, scholars who write books, who say things, they know things. But the man who was Irfan, he may not be even educated. But you ask him anything, and it comes out of his heart. It wells out of the heart. The knowledge wells out of the heart of man. The knowledge of God wells out of the heart, just like a spring. Baha'u'llah has confirmed the Islamic saying that knowledge is a light which God throws in your heart. Baha'u'llah confirms this. He talks about it in the Kitab-e-Iqan. Knowledge is a light which God casts in your heart. What a strange place for knowledge. Because often when you say this to people, people say, well, the heart is not a place for knowledge. It's the mind which is a place for knowledge. And it is true. But how can the knowledge of God be cast in the heart of man? And this is what is the difference between knowledge, ilm, and irfan. Irfan, which is the recognition, which is the understanding, comes to the heart of man, and then the mind will pick it up and understand it. But it dawns in your heart, because Baha'u'llah says, your heart is the place, is my home. I'm paraphrasing it. He says, your heart is where I will come into it. He will not come into your mind, he'll come into your heart first. Heart is a place of love and warmth. We have two focal points in our bodies. One is our mind, which is the center of intellect, which is very important center. We are not trying to underestimate it or undervalue it. And the other focal point is the heart of man, which is a center of love and warmth. And Baha'u'llah says that God always comes to your heart. He says, this is my home. And many a times he says in the Hidden Words and other tablets, he says, many a times I came to your heart, my home. I found there was a stranger in it. And then I left. And you know who that stranger is? Ourselves. Attachment to the things of this world. The most formidable form of that attachment is our own self. Attachment to our own self. The love of oneself. The ego. So, he says, I came many a time and you were not there, or the heart was full of the strangers. And then I left and I went. So you see, the knowledge of God comes into our hearts. And then the mind will pick it up and will understand it. Now this is what we should aim for as Baha'is, for deepening. That our hearts may become the recipient of the knowledge of God. Whether we have education or not, it doesn't matter. Whether we have knowledge or not, it doesn't matter. And Baha'u'llah tells us, what should we do that we may acquire this quality of Irfan, understanding. If you want to know what he has said, read the opening passage of the Kitab-e-Iqan. He says, no man shall attain, I'm paraphrasing his words, no man shall attain unto the shores of the sea of understanding. But he uses the word Irfan, which is translated into understanding. It's that word he has used. No one will ever acquire to understanding the shores of the ocean of understanding. unless and until. Now, if you ask the people, I want to understand, what shall I do? If you ask the people, they say, well, if you want to understand something, go to the university.